When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, all the way back during the 6 days of creation. So he created that world with a system of nature. Everything we know, practically, in existence, is seemingly bound by those laws. So let's take an easy example, the law of gravity. So we know that when something is thrown up in the air, so the force of gravity pulls it towards the center of the earth. It pulls it back towards the surface of the earth. That's a law of nature. You could jump today and tomorrow as much as you want. You're going to be pulled down by nature. This is the system of nature. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. The example I just brought about something being thrown up, the Rambam brings that example in his Mor Nevuchim. There is a system of nature, and everything seemingly is bound by that system. And not only is everything trapped and bound by nature, but that's the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem created the world that he wants everything to be run through the system of nature. Now, the system of nature doesn't just mean things like gravity, but it is an intricate system of forces and laws, not only physical laws, laws of physics that we have down here in this world, but even up in Shamayim, there is an entire intricate system that powers and dictates the laws of nature. Chazal refer to these upper forces as mazalos, malachim, sarim, all of these terms that we use. We speak about mazalos, constellations, something with the stars. We speak about malachim, the different angels. We speak about sarim, the sar, saro shalesav, the sar of Mitzrayim. So without getting into all the details of these different types of forces, this is the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's influence, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates, and he created, designed, and continues to power the entire universe, right? You look at the Rambam, the beginning of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. This is what the Rambam starts off with, how a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is powering and running the world. How does the functioning of the world occur? How do we get from a Kadosh Baruch Hu in Shamayim, a completely, I don't want to say abstract, but non-physical thing, entity. How do we get to that down to the nitty-gritty laws of nature and gravity and all the other different physical properties that we have? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a system of emanation, a system of a system that trickles down from, if we can use spatial terms like up and down, when we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which aren't really appropriate. But it's the only way we can understand things. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this system where whatever his ratzon is, so it's able to eventually be translated into the physical world. And just to give a mashal, just to try to begin to understand on the smallest possible level that we can. So in the Hakdama to the Haggadah of Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chover, so he speaks about something called Hishtalshlus HaMadregos. He speaks about an example he uses an example of a king. You have a king who's in his palace, and not only is he's in his capital city, and not only in his capital city, he's in his palace, and not only in his palace, but he's in the inner chamber, the royal chamber within the palace. So if he wants an edict to get out to some far-flung town, he doesn't go himself. He sits there in his royal palace, and he calls in his court, the person who makes the records, writes down his edicts. He dictates an edict. That is then transferred to a messenger. The messenger brings it to a governor. The governor of the province sends it out to the local mayor, and then the mayor sends out an announcement person who goes around and, you know, posts on the trees those long scrolls, you know, and says, hear ye, this is what the king said. So if you think about that whole structure, the king was sitting in his royal chamber. But through this intricate system of governors and the royal note taker to the governors, to the whoever writes up the official edicts, to the governor, to the local mayors, to the messengers, the local messengers. There are many, many steps until this law of the king, until this edict of the king is actually translated into the practical lemaisa stage of his subjects receiving the law. So in a similar way, Rav Yitzchak Isaac Hover explains, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a very intricate system of messengers and governors, malachim, sarim, mazalos, and through these systems, the laws of nature, as we know them, receive their power, because again, everything that's in existence is powered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, to use a mashal, if we imagine all the lights in the city that will get their power from a power plant outside the city, if that power plant ever goes, then all the lights go off in the city. The whole grid goes. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a similar way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a system, an intricate system, where even if he is Kaviyachol, the power plant, but how does his influence, how does his energy, how does his Ratzon get manifest all the way into your house? So all of that comes through this system. And this is the much grander system of nature. When you talk about nature, to only talk about gravity is missing a lot of the picture. There is this intricate system that brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu's influence to the world. And what emerges when we think about this system is that basically everything in creation that's bound by nature. So first of all, we have to realize that it's trapped in a system. That's point number one. Point number two, God is not directly involved in the system once it gets to you, once it gets down to the physical world. He is the force behind the system, like the power plant. He's the one who gave the direction. It's his ratzon, like in the example of the king. But when the subject living in some small farm out in the middle of nowhere gets the, in a far-flung province of the king's empire, the king's kingdom. So he is receiving an edict from the king, even though he's not directly, the king is not directly commanding this individual. This whole system, and seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this light as the force behind all of nature, the designer, orchestrator, and the force behind all of nature, the Ramban writes, when we use the shame of Elohim, this is what we're referring to. It's the name that represents the Hanhagav HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Yedei Teva. The Ramban writes that the word Elohim is made up of two words, Kel, which means force, Kel means strong, and Haim, which is a reference to all of the Kochos. So Elohim means the force behind all of the forces that we see in the world. So he's the one who powers it. The Nefesh HaChaim writes that that's the line that we say in Tefillah, Mechadesh b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh bereishis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechadesh b'chol yom. It doesn't mean that he recreates everything every day. It means that he continues to provide that force, that energy, that electricity that allows the system to run. So this system of nature, which is the Ratzon of Hashem, that he wants this system of nature to rule and to run the world, this is true about everything in existence except for Klal Yisrael. The Pasuk in Devarim tells us, Asher chalak Hashem Elokecha osam l'chol ha'amim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu established them, and them here refers to the Shamayim, the Tzva Shamayim, that's the Pasuk right before us talking about. The Tzva Shamayim, which we've already said, means all of these forces, this whole system that transports the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from its very, very deep place to its physical manifestation in this world. So Hashem was chalak osam, these forces, l'chol ha'amim, for all of the nations, tachas kol ha'shamayim, for all the nations that live under the kippas ha'shamayim. But v'eschem, the pasuk continues, this is in Perek Dalet of Devarim, v'eschem, but you, Klal Yisrael, lokach Hashem, Hashem took you, and the pasuk ends, Lios lo, li'am nachalo. Kadosh Baruch Hu took Klal Yisrael to be his nation. What do you mean to be his nation? Isn't the whole world his? So the Ramban on the spot in a bunch of places throughout his Perush on Chumash explains, this is a very big yesod in the Ramban's Perush on Chumash, and he makes reference to this, Asher Cholak Hashem al Kacho Osam, or that Klal Yisrael's Kichelek Hashem Amo, that Klal Yisrael is the Chelek of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now what does this mean? It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interaction with Klal Yisrael is not through these systems of Sarim and Mazolos and Malachim, at least in its ideal form. In its ideal form, HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly interacts with Klal Yisrael. Not through all of these intricate systems, not through the messengers and the governors and the local mayors and the local messengers. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with Klal Yisrael in a very intimate and direct way. We're given a direct hashgacha, a direct governance. And it's not bound, that means, by the system of nature. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his system of nature, and in his system of nature, he is standing behind the scenes, but he's not directly involved. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a special promise to Klal Yisrael, that with his prize nation, with his chosen nation, with Klal Yisrael, he's not going to interact with them through these indirect methods. No. V'eschem lokach Hashem lios lo li'am nachalo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to indirectly interact with us. Now historically, the emergence of this unique hanhaga, this is the hanhaga that's miyuchad, that's unique, that's special for Klal Yisrael. So the story begins with Avram. We know that Avram Avinu was promised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he is going to have children and he's going to be the father of a great nation. And yet Avram's already an old man and he doesn't have any children. And he's very worried about the prospects of ever having children. Because certainly, al pi derech hateva, if you're living in a world that's bound by nature, Avram and Sarah are not at the prime age for having children. They're way beyond their prime. And al pi nature, they shouldn't have any children. So amazingly, the pasuk says, Habet no hashamayma, look up at the stars, look up at the sky, koi yezarecha, look, you will have your children, they will be as numerous as the stars that you see in the sky. And the pasuk says, Vayotzi oso, that pasuk begins, Vayotzi oso achutza. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Avram Avinu, and he took him outside, and he said, Habet no hashamayma, look up at the stars. What does it mean, Vayotzi oso achutza? He took him outside. So if you look there, in Rabbeinu Bachai and other Mefarshim, so they explain that this was a very, very deep interaction that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was having with Avram. This was not just a, come, let's take a walk outside on the back porch and have a shmooze. V'yotzei oso achutza, besides the simple interpretation that he told him to go outside, it means he took him, and this is a famous medrash, he took him above the stars. And instead, take a look. Look at all these stars. But he wasn't looking from down up. He was looking from up down. He was looking from above the stars. And the Mefarshim explain that on a deeper level here, this doesn't just mean, right, we already went, Yotzei Yosei Achutza means he went outside. Okay, went outside into the dark night. Now we said Yotzei Yosei Achutza means he took him outside of the universe. So he was looking down on creation. But it goes even deeper than that. Because Yotzei Yosei Achutza doesn't just mean he took him outside of the stars. What do the stars represent? We've already said that the stars represent the system of nature. It's part of this intricate system, this complex system, this sophisticated system, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashpia onto the world. His influence is poured into the world in an indirect way. Came HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Avram and he took him outside of that system. He took him outside of the system of nature. And he said to him, Ko yezarecha. This is going to be the hanhaga with your children. This is how I'm going to interact with them. And why was this such an important message right now? Because Avraham Avinu is sitting there and he's thinking, how am I going to have children? I'm so old. Al pi teva, I can't have children. My wife can't bear children at this age. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, no. V'yotzioso achutza. You're outside of this system. You don't need to worry about the laws of nature, because the destiny of your family is that you will exist outside of the system of nature. The Ramban learns a similar pshat in the events when Yaakov is leaving Eretz Yisrael and he has this dream. He lies down before he leaves and he sees this image of a sulam, of a ladder, which goes from earth up to heaven. And it says that in his dream, he sees Malachei Elokim. He sees Malachei Elokim. He sees angels of God going up and down. Now, the simple interpretation of this vision is, as Rashi, I believe, quotes, that there was a changing of the guards. There were different angels coming, Eretz Yisrael angels, Chutzaretz angels. And these angels were going to be escorting Yaakov. But the Ramban learns a pshat in this story, in this event, that is almost the opposite of what we assume. The Ramban writes that the story is not so much about the angels. The vision that Yaakov was seeing and the encouragement that he was receiving was actually not about the angels. The Ramban explains that the angels going up and down represent the normal hanhaga with the world. Hashem interacts with the world via angels, via spiritual forces that end up, when they reach our world, they end up manifesting themselves as laws of nature. But that's all powered by the malachim, which are powered above that by sarim, or by wherever the system goes. Again, we're not involved in mystical secrets. But the Ramban writes in his Perush HaChumash that the angels that Yaakov saw represent Hashem's hanhaga in the world. And you know what? If you're about to go into a foreign territory, you're about to leave Eretz Yisrael, al pi nature, you're going, it's an away game, you're going outside of your neighborhood that you recognize, that you're familiar with, it's dangerous. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, whoa. That's when you're dealing with a system of nature. And sure enough, look at all the angels. Look how hard they're working. They're going up, they're going down, they're bringing my hashpa down to the world. They're the intermediaries between the physical world and the spiritual world. That's the way things work with everyone else, but not with you. The Ramban writes that the message to Yaakov was that Hu lo yeh b'yad ha-malachim. He's not going to be in the hands of those angels. Aval yeh chelek Hashem. And the Ramban writes that part of the vision was not only the angels going up, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was standing over the ladder. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing all of these angels, i.e. nature, that runs the world. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm standing above this. This is not a system that runs on its own. I'm running this system, and guess what? If I'm running the system, so then I can do whatever I want. And I am giving a haftacha to you that I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to interact with you. I'm going to run directly, be mashkiach over your life. You don't have to worry about nature, because with you, as the Ramban says, you will lo yiyah b'yad ha-malachim. You're not going to be in the hands of the malachim. Yiyah chelek Hashem. You're going to be Hashem's special chelek. This promise to Avraham, this vision of Yaakov, for all of Klal Yisrael, it became their inheritance at Matan Torah. Right before Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Vayisem li segula mikol ha'amin. Klal Yisrael will be chosen. They will be unique. They'll be a treasure. In what way are we unique? In what way are we chosen? Says the Ramban, you know how we're chosen? Because all other peoples of the earth are bound by the laws of nature. But Klal Yisrael merits a hanhaga from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that not defies nature, but transcends nature. It's higher than nature because it's a direct interaction. And the Ramban comments, Ve'isem li segula mikol amim, you're going to be like a treasure? So the Ramban says, what's a treasure? He quotes from the Medrash. Treasure, something that's treasured, You don't give to somebody else to watch. If something is really treasured, you keep it in your own pocket. You don't entrust it to someone else to watch for you. Says the Ramban, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Klal Yisrael at Matan Torah. V'yisem li segula mikol ha'amim means, I'm going to give you a unique hanhaga, different than every other people. You're going to be mine. Lo yimsur b'yad acher, says the Ramban. You don't give over a treasure to somebody else. Now the Ramban sees this special hanhaga with Klal Yisrael that does not follow the rules of nature, necessarily. He sees this in all of the promises of the Torah. We have many places in the Torah, a number of places in the Torah, where the Torah says that if you follow the words, V'hayam shamoa tishmu, if you listen to my mitzvos, if you do the Ratzon Hashem, so there'll be Gishamim bi'itam, it will rain, I will remove sickness from you. Lots of blessings. Not blessings for Olam Haba, blessings for things here in this world. And the Ramban asks a very basic question. How can it be that if I do mitzvos, it will rain, and I will have bounty, and my crops will grow? And if I do aveiros, so then the skies will be like barzel, they'll be like iron. They won't rain, they'll be tough like iron. They won't give any rain, and we'll starve. Says the Ramban, I don't understand. There's a system of nature in the world. Everybody knows there's a system of nature in the world. Rain is a product of precipitation in the atmosphere, precipitation in the air, and other climate issues. That's how rain comes. Because seasons, temperature, humidity. Rain is not a function of if I eat kosher or if I eat not kosher. How can it be that if I work the field during the Shemitah year, it's going to rain? I don't understand. Doesn't there need to be certain atmospheric qualities? Doesn't there need to be a certain season in order for it to rain? How can Hashem tell us that if you do the mitzvos, it will rain? Ella, says the Ramban, what do you see? If Hashem is promising us natural brachos for doing mitzvos, so what you see is that with Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not follow the rules of nature. Because if he follows the rules of nature, then only during the rainy season is it going to rain. It's not going to rain in the middle of August in Eretz Yisrael, even if you do all the mitzvos. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, so the Ramban says that you see from the brachos and the klolos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not, I don't want to say he doesn't feel bound, but he doesn't interact bound by nature when he's interacting with Klal Yisrael. Now there's a very important little ha'ara here, there's a little important point that needs to be made in order to understand this, because if this is true, so there are a lot of people doing mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael, how come we don't see the rain in August? So the Ramban, we have to make reference to another very important principle of the Ramban, and that's the principle of Nisim Nistarim. Basically, what we've seen so far is that according to the Ramban, Hashem interacts with Klal Yisrael in a system that's not necessarily bound by nature, because, and this is very much connected to the other point, because Hashem's interacting with us directly. When Hashem interacts with the world indirectly, it means that he's powering a system of nature that rules in the world. But with Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interacting directly, and therefore there is no system. And if there's no system, that means there's no rules. But here's the knetch, and that is, how can you have a world that's being run very strictly by nature, and then have individuals that are receiving a hanhaga from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that does not follow the rules of nature? So says the Ramban, normally, and when I say normally, I mean 99.9% of the time, the Hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Klal Yisrael is begeder nes, miraculous. When we say miraculous, we just mean it doesn't follow the rules of nature. But it's nisim nistarim. This is also a very big yisod in the Ramban's writings. Nisim nistarim means it's nisim, but they follow, at least externally, how they appear, they follow nature. What do we mean by that? Someone does a mitzvah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels that the proper response is therefore to make it rain for him. Now, we didn't say that if a person does a mitzvah, so a tree will grow in his backyard that has dollar bills on it. Why not? Because there's nothing in nature like that. Rain is something that exists in nature. And therefore, if Reuven, the tzaddik, his crops need rain, and he does a mitzvah, so Hashem will bring the rains. If he doesn't do a mitzvah, Hashem will not. If he does an aveira, Hashem will not bring the rains. Let's just say, obviously, we're oversimplifying it, because Ma'od Amku Machshavosecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu's Machshavos are much deeper than that. He takes many things into account. But just for simplicity's sake. Now, if it happens to rain in Reuven's backyard, well, it also rained in his non-Jewish neighbor's yard, and it also rained for some random person 30 miles away. Rain is a natural thing. So when a Kadosh Baruch Hu brings rain to a tzaddik, when he brings health to a tzaddik, and the tzaddik gets to live a long life, and he lives way into his 90s. So is that nature? Well, for most of creation, that would just be nature. What do we mean by nature? It means if he ate healthy, and he was generally safe, and he had good genes, and he went to the doctor regularly, and he exercised, so he got to live to the age of 95, Baruch Hashem. That's how it works when you're in the system of nature. When you're dealing with someone from the chosen nation, so if he sits there and he's eating cheeseburgers all day, I mean not cheeseburgers, and he sits there, he's eating fast food all day, and he's never exercising, so now it starts to become a nes galui for Kadosh Baruch Hu to allow him to live to 90, 95, if he's living a very unhealthy lifestyle. But if he's living a basically healthy lifestyle, and he's doing mitzvos, so here, even if al pi nature he should only live to 70, Kodesh Baruch Hu can allow him to live to 95, because that's a miracle, because it is, it's not natural. Al pi nature he should only live to 70, but it's a nes nister, because it's not overt. It doesn't smack in the face of nature. It doesn't defy nature. And therefore, his existence, it transcends nature, because it's not natural. He should have only lived to 70, but he lived to 90. And that's something that there are people, there's a certain percentage of people in the world who live to 90. So in general, we get a hanhaga of nes, but it's nisim nistarim. It follows the outer trappings of nature. We're not zoche to nisim galuyim. Nisim nistarim. So even though fundamentally, or no, I shouldn't say fundamentally, even though superficially it looks the same. You know, you have two people living next to each other. Reuven and his neighbor, his non-Jewish neighbor. And they both lived to 95. One of them could have lived to 95, al pi derech ateva. And the other one lived to 95, al pi derech nisim nistarim. The Ramban says this was the name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that interacts with Klal Yisrael, with nisim nistarim, is the name of Kel Shakai. This is the name that we find often by the Avos, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Ramban writes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected them in times of famine, in times of war. Right? You have soldiers go off to war. A certain percentage are killed, a certain percentage come back. So how did this tzaddik be one of the ones who came back? Not necessarily Al-Pi Teva, Al-Pi Nes, but it's a Nes Nister. These Nesim Nistar, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with the world directly, but still bound in a certain sense to nature, not to the actual laws of nature, but to bring about Nisim in a way that doesn't deny or defy better nature. That's the name of Kel Shakai. But there was one exception in Jewish history where HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacted with Klal Yisrael with overt miracles. And that was Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is our back. Everything we spoke about until now was the backdrop to understand the significance of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because in Yetzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu broke all the laws of nature in the most revealed way possible. Every single Egyptian, the center of the world at the time, everyone saw the Yad HaChazaka, the Zruah HaNetuya, saw the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Nisim Gluyim of Yetzias Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the beginning of Parshas Va'ira, actually tells Moshe Rabbeinu that that's what's going to happen. He says, I revealed myself to the Avos with the name of Kel Shakai, which are Nisim Nistarim. I took care of Avram, I took care of Yitzchak, I took care of Yaakov. But not everybody knew. Their neighbors, their non-Jewish neighbors, didn't realize what was going on necessarily. Because there was miracles that conformed to nature in general. But Ushmi Hashem, my name of Yud Kei Vov Kei, Lo Nodati Lahem. I didn't flex my name Yud Kei Vov Kei. The name Yud Kei Vov Kei represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the ultimate force that defies nature in the most overt way. It's the absolute Giloy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the great revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not hidden. He's not hidden behind the mask of nature, like in the Shem Elokim. He's not even hidden behind the Nisim Nistarim, but he's completely revealed. That's the name of Yud Kei Vov Kei. And in Yetzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself in this most overt fashion, where everyone saw that with Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with them in this direct, miraculous way. Let me just repeat what I just said, because this is the yesod of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim was the one time in history where HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed the world that with Klal Yisrael, I don't interact with them through nature. Everyone else, all the rest of you, you're all bound by nature, just like the plants and just like the animals. So to all of the Umos Ha'olam, they're all bound by nature. But Klal Yisrael, they're not bound by nature. How do we know that? We know that because of Yetzias Mitzrayim. At Yetzias Mitzrayim, everybody saw that Klal Yisrael is not bound by nature. And that is why Yetzias Mitzrayim plays such an important and central role in Jewish thought. And it's why we're constantly referring to Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we have so many mitzvos that are about Yetzias Mitzrayim, because they are all there to drive home this yesod, that as the Ama Nivchar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with us differently. The Ramban famously says that this Nes Galui of Yetzias Mitzrayim taught us a very important lesson. It taught us about this interaction that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with us, and it allows us to take home that even after Yetzias Mitzrayim, when we're no longer seeing those overt miracles, we are understanding, though, that Hashem's interaction with us continues to be Shelo Al Derech HaTeva. It continues to be an interaction which is Al Derech Nes. We go back to the primary form of that interaction, which are Nisim Nistarim. But once that Nes Galui has happened, so now you know that the Nes Nister, now you know that the Nes Nister is what's interacting and what's ruling and governing one's life throughout, in all times of their life. Let me give you an example. If you see a phenomenon that occurs, and you don't understand how this phenomenon occurs, maybe it's a magician doing magic and you think it's really magic, or there's some other process, a light show, or whatever it is, some type of phenomenon, and you don't understand it, and you bang into someone who, you see the magician, or you see the person who runs the light show, and you ask him, can you please explain to me how you do this? And he shows you the trick, or he shows you the mechanism that's used in order to produce this phenomenon. So from now on, whenever you see the phenomenon occurring, or similar phenomena, even if you don't know exactly how it's being done, because you weren't privy in this specific example, but you understand the basic premise already. You realize, oh, there's no such thing as magic. Once you see this card trick, you see that card trick, so even if there's a third card trick, and you don't know exactly how it's done, but you realize this is not magic. This is sleight of hand, just like those first two tricks. So too, once the secret is out, you know, it's like the wizard. Once the wizard shows himself, so then even if the wizard goes back behind the curtain, you will always, from then on, know that there's just a man behind the curtain. It's really just a man behind a curtain. So the Havdil, to try to bring this back to understanding our situation, once there was a Nes Galui, and we saw the Yad Hashem, so even though we go back to an existence that looks a lot like nature, We know from then on that this isn't nature. This is also Nisim. It's just Nisim that need to conform to nature, because that's the yisod of Nisim Nistara. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to regularly just break nature. For whatever reasons, and we're not going to get into them now, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants a world that runs al pi nature, or at least that appears to run al pi nature. And for most of existence, and for most creations, it really does run based on nature. And the Ramban famously says, and some people think that the Ramban here is saying that there's no such thing as nature. Of course there's something called nature. But Klal Yisrael is zocha to an hanhaga that's not bound by nature. And the famous words of the Ramban in Perek Yud Gimel and Shmos, the end of Parshas Bo, Umin anisim agedolam amufursamim, and from seeing those great nisim, Adam moda benisim hanastarim. A person is moda, he recognizes and he must admit the hidden miracles, Shehem Yisod HaTorah Kula, which are the Yisod of the entire Torah. What does that mean, it's the Yisod of the entire Torah? We'll see in a second. She'ein la'odom chelik b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu ad shenamen b'chol d'greinu m'greinu shekulam nisim, ein b'em tevam m'nhaga shalolam. Everything that occurs to us, even though it seems to conform to nature, it's not really nature. Ella, and here's the punchline. Most people stop there, but you have to keep reading. Ella im yasa mitzvos yatsli schenu scharo v'im yavor aleim yachriseno ancho hakol b'gzeras elyon. And how do I know that? Because if we do the mitzvos, and this is the result, that if we do the mitzvos, we're going to get rewarded. What do you mean? How can we get rewarded? How can we get rain? It's not natural for it to rain now, but this is the yisod of the entire Torah. This is what the Ramban means when he says it's the yisod of the whole Torah. The yisod of the Torah and all the promises that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us in the Torah is that I interact with you directly. You're not bound by that system of nature. This, very hard to exaggerate the importance of this yisod, because it's really the underpinnings of so much of Avodas Hashem. It really highlights a very powerful element of tefillah, and I would even call it a secret power to tefillah. Because, as the Ramban writes in a few places, he writes in one location, call tefillos nisim heim. All prayer are miracles. And what does that mean? What the Ramban seems to be saying is that the yisod of tefillah is this hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with us. If we are bound by nature, so then, if someone is deathly ill, there's nothing to daven for. If the medicine works, it works. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. It's teva. It's nature. If the person has an illness, what can we do about it? If we know the medical procedure to deal with it, great. If we don't, we don't. Why are we davening? How's davening going to help? The yisod of tefillah is the recognition that a Kadosh Baruch Hu can change things even if they're not supposed to happen, al pi derech hateva. That with us, we're zoche. Even if he could, if we aren't zoche, if we don't merit a hanhaga like that, so what are we davening for? It's just, we're just slaves, or we're just bound and trapped by nature. So what's the purpose of davening? The Ramban writes in his essay, Toras Hashem Tmima, that lo hispal adam lakadosh baruch hu, a person can't really daven ad shehemin benisim, until he believes in nisim. If you're davening for something, if you're davening for a parnasa, what are you asking Hashem for parnasa for? Go get a good education. If you make a good deal, you'll make money. If you make a bad deal, you won't make money. But if you believe that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is interacting with me, shalal pi derech hateva, it means that even if I don't necessarily make the best deal, I have to do my ishtadlus, obviously, because we can't allow things to enter into the realm of Neis Galui. But if I do my ishtadlus, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if al pi derech hateva, I'm not supposed to make that money, even if al pi derech hateva, there isn't supposed to be health, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can shower us with health. If we, as the Ramban says, that if a person does the mitzvos, im yaseh mitzvos, yatzlichenu scharo, we will be zochet to schar. And this is the yisod of tefillah. And it's a life-changing yisod in tefillah. That a lot of times when we talk about tefillah, and it's not mutually exclusive. we talk about tefillin, we say, oh, davening, it's for us, it's to remind us of our dependency on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's all true. But there's another element of tefillah, and that is that tefillah can change the mitzvahs. It can change the reality in a way that doesn't necessarily have to follow the rules of nature. Now, it still needs to be nisim nistarim. I don't think we have a right necessarily to daven for nisim gluyim. That's not the hanhaga. The hanhaga with us are nisim nistarim. But seemingly, not only can we, but that's the yisod of davening, to daven for nisim nistarim. To ask a Kaddish Baruch Hu is the way the Ramban writes it, b'shinoi hateva nasa hakol, to realize that everything, when it comes to us, everything is through shinoi hateva. Again, in a way that conforms to teva, that looks like teva, but something that's not bound by the laws of teva. And therefore, this Yontif, Pesach, as we are trying to mekayim the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, we're trying to internalize the messages of Yitzias Mitzrayim, we have to remember the words of the Ramban and the omek of what the Ramban is trying to say. That the Ramban is trying to teach us about the koach of tefillah, about this unique interaction that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with Klal Yisrael. And Amir Tzashem, when we go to Davin, and I hope it will make our tefillah so much more powerful, that we realize that when we go to Davening and we say to Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the hanhaga you promised to me. You promised that to Avram Avinu, v'yotzei oso achutza. You promised that to Yaakov Avinu when he saw those angels and he realized those angels are for everyone else. I'm above these angels. HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with me directly. So we could stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we could say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm doing my mitzvot, so I'm trying as hard as I can. So please, even shalom al piderech hateva, please change the teva, please interact with me in the way that Klal Yisrael is zoche to. And Amir Tzashem, we should be zoche to many nisim nistarim. The Rabbeinu Bechai writes that a person, every day, people experience nisim nistarim. So we should be zoche, that we shouldn't be downgraded into the status of everyone else, to be bound only by nature. But if we stand to the challenge, because it's Mashman, the Ramban, and others in places, that if we don't take this, if we don't take advantage of this challenge, so we could be relegated, perhaps, into a world of teva. But in Mirtz Hashem, we should be zoche to be able to raise ourselves up, to be able to be interacted with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He should interact with us through Nisim. We should be zoche to many Nisim Nistarim and to tremendous Hashkacha Pratis from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.